Good afternoon. This is Joel Whitaker, editor of Kane's Beverage News Daily. And we're talking this afternoon with Debbie Gioquindo, who's the founder of Happy Bitch Wines. Good afternoon, Debbie. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing excellently well, thank you. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? Where do you go to school? You know, that sort of stuff.
Okay. Well, I'm from New York, and I grew up in the Hudson Valley. And I went to school, I went to college in Buffalo, New York, and my major was business with a concentration in marketing.
Ah. So you were sort of trained to do this in a way of speaking.
I was. It's funny. My college roommate was moving from Oregon to New York about maybe 8 years ago, and she found a paper we did on marketing an airline. So it was, you know, between seasons, and I am actually, I've been in the travel business, so prior to the wine, so it was just kind of funny how you know things, you know, come together.
They are. Well, now tell us, were your parents self-employed, or were they government bureaucrats, or, you know, what was their background?
Actually, no, my parents were self-employed. My father was an entrepreneur. He actually worked for Canda Camera in his 20s, worked for Allen Fund, and his dream was to own a radio station.
Mm-hmm.
So he convinced my uncle to go into business with them, and they cashed in all their chips and bought a radio station in Beacon, New York back in 1967. And I'm probably dating myself now. But and from there, his empire, so to speak, grew to 5 radio stations at the time when he sold.
Oh, very good. And were they all in the Hudson Valley?
No, just 2 of them were in the Hudson Valley. Back then, FCC laws, you couldn't own stations in the same market, like 2 FMs. It had to be 1 AM, 1 FM,
mm-hmm.
and then they had to be certain mileage away.
Mm-hmm.
So they were actually in Binghamton, New York. He owned them in Scranton, Pennsylvania, and in Portland, Maine.
But he didn't. He never made an attempt to buy, like in Hawaii or Phoenix, Arizona, for the winter.
Yeah, bummer, huh?
Bummer. Well, that's very good. So how did you get into the Happy Bitch wine business? It's a euphonious name. So tell us how you did that.
Well, I've been involved in the wine business for quite a while. Back in the late 90s, my husband and I personally got into wine. We became wine enthusiasts, and we started learning about wine. And in the early 2000s, I began working part-time in the local wine industry with the Shwangunk Wine Trail, and which doing marketing, which led me to bring up Hudson Valley Wine Country. It was a branding initiative from the New York Wine and Grapes Foundation. And then everybody lost their funding. And so I'd always, you know, been into wine. I went back and got my Society of Wine Educators, my Certified Specialist of Wine Designation. And this past January, I got my Wine Location Specialist in Champagne Import from the Centers of Wine Origin. So it's just always been fascinating to me. And I later found out this year that my family, my Lessner family, owned vineyards in Tapacola, which I'm probably not pronouncing it right, T-A-P-O-L-C-A, Hungary. And they were very involved with the Hungarian wine trade way back in the from the 18th century on. So I guess wine is in my blood. And I was on Twitter April 26th of 2011. I had been downsized from my day job because in the wine, you know, when you have a passion for wine, you need a day job to support the wine habit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was downsized from my day job, and I was, you know, just hanging out. I'm a wine blogger as well, known as the Hudson Valley Wine Goddess. So I was sitting on Twitter, and Carol Pesci, who is a happy bitch, tweeted, "What do you think about a happy bitch wine?" And I tweeted back, "Why don't you make it locally and source grapes from New York?" So we met for coffee, and, you know, my intent was to educate her on the local wine region and, you know, if she wanted to produce wine, how to go about doing it locally.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing led to another, and we became partners, and in November of 2011, we gave birth to our rosé.
Very good. Now, had you ever met Carol before?
Yes, I have. I had known her way back 8-9 years ago through my travel business. I had sent her and her husband on a trip to the Napa Valley, which Carol tells me was the best trip that she's ever been on. And we knew each other through the local Chamber of Commerce.
Oh, very good. So there was a trust level there to begin with.
Yeah, we kind of knew each other, but, you know, now we really know each other.
Yes, you do, I'm sure. So Happy Bitch has been around for, about 6 months now? Or
we launched in November 2011, so almost probably 9 months.
Okay.
11, 12, yeah, 9 months.
Good. And how big is the brand at this point?
At this point, to date, we have produced 1,400 cases of wine.
Okay. And
we have the ability... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
We are very fortunate and have the ability to produce as needed. So, you know, and we anticipate at least 2,000 cases by year end.
Well, that's a good start for a new brand in the first year, especially when it's, you know, a total startup, if you will. And how, where are you getting your grapes from? I presume you don't have a vineyard out back.
No. Thought about it, though.
That'll come.
We source our grapes from the Finger Lakes.
Okay. And that's a good source, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's great. And the Chardonnay and the Pinot Noir come from in there. Because our rosé is a blend of 90% Chardonnay, 10% Pinot Noir.
Mm-hmm. And where do you have distribution? I can assume you're distributing in the Hudson River Valley. Where else are you distributing?
We are distributed by Empire Merchants North, anything north of Westchester County in New York State,
mm-hmm.
up to the Canadian border and west to Buffalo. And July 1st, we start distribution in New Jersey with Shore Point distributors.
With Shore Point out of, where are they? Point Pleasant, I think.
Freehold.
Freehold, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Freehold, yeah. Nice little horse racing area down there, too. So that's very good. You're not in New York City yet, I gather.
No, we are not in New York City. We're working on it.
Well, I can see the strategy. You're surrounding the city, and then they'll have to come and beg you for an increase in production. That'll be a good thing. So, how did you how were you able to get Empire and Shore Point to take you on? Because some winemakers say that it's just impossible to get distribution through an established wholesaler. Obviously, you've found the key.
Well, I'll tell you, we were told that, you know, we're coming out into the market in November 1st, which is holiday time. First of all, no distributor is going to take you on, A, because it's the holiday season, and B, you're not proven. Mm-hmm. And we beat the odds. With Empire Merchants North, we were, they just kind of walked in on us by pure accident when we were at the winery that's producing our wine for us. And they just gentlemen happened to walk in on a conversation, and one thing led to another. And we went with them with, you know, no expectations. It was holiday time. We did a lot of pounding of the payment locally, and the product just took off.
Terrific. And that's a wonderful way to get your distribution, to have them walk in on you rather than you go out and beg for it from them.
I say, you know, my forefathers are guiding us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so someone out there has got the plan, and, you know, things happen for a reason. We
yep.
weren't looking, you know. With Shore Point, they were referred to us by somebody, and we contacted them, and we went and made a presentation to them the Tuesday after Memorial Day,
mm-hmm.
and they were really impressed by us, and they took us on for July 1.
Do you think the name had anything to do with it?
Well, you know, the name, you know, anybody can have a really good name, and I'll admit the name is what grabs people. But it's not just the name, it's what's in the bottle. You have to have a good product. And it's what's in the bottle that keeps people coming back. And that's what's important. Because anyone can put out a label, anybody can, you know, say anything, but, you know, you don't want that just one buy. You want the people to come back.
Right, right. What you want to build your business on, of course, is the repeat sales time after time after time.
Right. And we're about, you know, our brand, it's a lifestyle brand.
I was going to ask you that. Was it aimed specifically at women?
It's aimed specifically at women, mm-hmm. and helping them to understand, you know, things happen to all of us. We're all put in situations that we might not like, but it's what we do with those situations to help us move forward, to choose the right outcome, to choose what's best for us,
mm-hmm.
make us happy. And it's about, you know, losing the baggage, losing the regrets, losing the blame. I mean, you can hold regrets and you can hold blame all you want. It's just going to make you miserable. Lose it. Move forward. Make the decisions in life that are going to make you happy.
Which obviously is what you yourself have done.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I've never been happier. I'm doing what I love.
So how are you marketing this wonderful product?
Well, we're very fortunate. We have received a lot of press. So, you know, just from people highlighting us. We do a lot of social media.
Mm-hmm.
We're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, Google+, Pinterest, and all those type of things. So, and we do local spot, you know, traditional advertising as well.
Radio?
I have not done radio yet.
Newspapers?
No, pretty much magazines.
Magazines.
A publication that really hones in on our demographics.
Okay. What sort of, can you give me a name of that pub?
We've done Hudson Valley Wine Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
What else have we done?
I bet there's a great market for you there.
Yeah, and that covers, you know, people grab that magazine when they visit the Hudson Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And wherever else they cover, I think there's some Finger Lakes. It's distributed in the Finger Lakes as well.
Right.
And in New York City, actually, too. So, and I'm just trying to think. We've done some more ads, and my mind's drawing blank right now.
My mind does that, too, from time to
time.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're participating in festivals. We participate in the Hudson Valley Wine Festival. That's actually where Happy Bitch Rosé was decided, because we came up with a base blend. And we had a sweet, a semi-sweet, and a dry made, and we
mm-hmm.
took it to the Hudson Valley Wine Festival last September, and we asked the wine consumer to vote, what wine did you like the best, and that was the wine that we were going to produce. So number two won, and that number two is what we produced.
Oh, good. A really low-cost focus group, if you will.
Exactly. And we were the hit of the festival. We even, you know, 10 minutes before it's closing on Sunday, all the buildings are empty, but there's three people deep in our booth at our table. So, and we're doing the Finger Lakes Wine Expo or Wine Festival in July. We did the New York Wine Expo in March. And next year in 2013, we're doing the Boston and the New York Wine Expo.
So obviously you expect to be into the Boston market by then, I would guess, huh?
We hope, you know, and if not, we'll spark interest while
right.
we're there. We do have quite a few people that are in the Massachusetts market that want our wine, and since it's a no-ship state, they can't order it online. So it makes it very difficult for them to get it unless they travel to New York or have friends in, you know, New York that
sure.
are coming to visit them.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's a shame that it's hard for you to get distribution in Massachusetts, but hopefully you'll be able to do that quickly and efficiently.
Yeah, we're working on it. You
yeah.
know, you can't rush things, and if you rush things, then things tend to you lose out on something. So, you know, we want to do it right the first time.
No, I think that's very wise. I mean, I know for a fact that there's a very large brewer in St. Louis that when they were starting, they literally went county by county and, you know, got to be dominant in that county, and then they go to the next county and so on. So, and you can guess which brewer that is, I suspect.
Yeah, right?
and they're pretty big nowadays.
Yeah, I think so. But, you don't want to lose focus either.
No, and well, that's why you got to be careful and, you know, go that very disciplined route. And I'm sure some days that it requires great discipline for you not to decide that, gee, well, we're here, and why don't we just, as long as we're serving Upper New York, why don't we just jump on out and serve Chicago, too, and, you know, make that
right.
First belief. And,
right. You know, and we have to be able to know that we can support those regions as well.
Right. That sort of transitions into one of my favorite questions. Where do you want to be in 3 years?
In 3 years, we would like to be distributed in all the states,
mm-hmm.
in Canada, and overseas. And we would like to build our portfolio up.
So you want to add some more brands or some more?
We'll add some more
product
varietals.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good. And I presume if you want to be distributed in all those states, that means you're going to be starting to add salespeople too?
Yes, we would be adding, in each market, we would be adding a sales force.
Mm-hmm. And how about overseas? Will you have somebody over there?
Yeah, we would need somebody over there when the time comes to manage, distribution and our product over there.
Well, the alternative, you know, is for you and Carol to take alternating trips to your favorite European locations.
Don't worry. We would do that anyway.
You'll do that anyway.
And check up on everything, you know. Yeah, as owners, you need to go and check up just to make sure everything's running correctly.
Yeah, you really do need to be physically present in the market from time to time to make sure things are being done the way they should do. So how do you plan to get to this nationwide, worldwide distribution level in 3 years? That's pretty ambitious.
Well, you know, we've had inquiries in various places. But like I said, we're not ready to move that way yet. There's a lot of compliance issues as well that need to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to first get the states, nailed down and do it correctly and have all our ducks in a row before we move on to the next.
Because, sure.
You know, there's people in the United States that they want our wine. There's people in Massachusetts. They, you know, it's a no-ship state. They can't get it. And for us to go jump over to, say, Europe and get distribution when people in our own country can't get it. So,
mm-hmm.
So just one thing at a time.
Sure.
Not to say, it needs to be manageable right now, and we need to, increase it as we can, and then that's what we're looking at more.
Sure. Now, you're obviously working full-time on this. Is Carol also working full-time on this, or is she still doing what she had been doing?
We both are.
You both are. Okay, good. What's been your most amazing experience thus far?
You know, as a wine blogger, because I am a wine blogger, what's really amazing is the support from the wine blogging community.
Mm-hmm.
That here's a wine blogger turned brand owner, and I'm doing this. I think that's just been the amazing, just really amazing, and the support that I get from my friends and family.
Sure, and. Can I ask how many hours a week you're working?
I can't add them all up.
Morning,
I don't
noon,
think I ever stop. You know, my first stop in the morning after I have my coffee is my office to check my email before I even go to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think as an entrepreneur and the owner of a business, I don't think you ever turn it off. Now with technology, your smartphones, your tablets, you're always connected unless
right.
you're on a deserted island in the middle of the Pacific, with a nice cabana boy. And it's just, you're always connected. And you know, at this stage, we have to be.
Sure. No, it's very important to be connected and to be on top of everything that's going on, without question. So if that's been your most amazing experience, getting that support from the wine blogging community, what's been your worst experience?
I wouldn't say it's my worst experience. I would say what's been difficult is the whole distribution channel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's really tough.
That's the one that keeps you awake at night and makes you want to throw things against the wall and so on.
Yes, it's tough to navigate.
Yeah, it certainly is, and that's unfortunate. So what's the number one lesson you've learned since starting Happy Bitch Wines a year ago?
You know what I've learned? I've just learned to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Things happen, you know, I've always said, you know, things happen for a reason, but they truly, really do. And, you know, you can't predict the future, but you can certainly help, you know, drive to where you want to go.
Sure.
And one of the things, you know, it's persistence and doing what you love. Because there's, you know, a lot of people out there that, you know, they're doing, you know, they're working because they have to, and they really they're not being able to take a chance on their dream, and I've been given that opportunity, and I'm very grateful for it.
What were you doing before that opportunity arrived in the form of a layoff notice from your former employer? What sort of work were you doing?
Downsizing. I was working for a local healthcare insurance company,
mm-hmm.
a regional healthcare insurance company. I actually got downsized twice. The first time was a year before. I was doing community relations for them in the Hudson Valley, and my position, as well as the girl in Vermont, got downsized. But because they knew about my wine life and they knew about my life in social media, they asked me to stay on and get them up into social media, and I started to do that, and then I got downsized because they felt they were a regulated industry and they shouldn't be in social media.
Okay. Well, that makes a certain amount of sense, I guess.
Didn't
make you happy, obviously, but it did open up the opportunity.
It was kind of bittersweet. It didn't, you know, I was like, okay, now what am I going to do? I've got two kids going to college. I've got a mortgage. But you know what? I'm going to see where it takes me.
Yeah. And so far it sounds like it's taken you very well. So
I've never been happier.
Excellent. Are there any questions you wish I would have asked you that I didn't? Or anything you want to tell us because I didn't ask the right question?
No, not at all. I mean, I think we covered it.
Great.
I mean, we covered the wine festival and how, it, you know, we determined the brand, the blend. I think we pretty much got it.
I think that wine festival was really clever, you know, letting the market tell you what they wanted. We hear that all the time in business school, of course, you know, let your customers tell you, but then a lot of times we don't.
Well, you know, as a marketer, you know, that was the first thing that I thought of was let the people decide.
Mm-hmm.
And we had created, once Carol and I decided on a partnership, the first thing I said, we need to put a Facebook page up and a Twitter page up. And then we did that, and I went to work, and we had over 1,000 people vote at the Hudson Valley Wine Fest. And that's just people that filled out the card, not to say, you know, people vote, came and tasted and didn't vote because
sure.
we were so busy.
Sure.
So and people want to be involved. I mean, people want to say, hey, you know, I influenced that product. How cool is that?
Yeah.
And we have people to this day when we're out at tastings, doing tastings, whether it's in a liquor store or at a festival, that come up to us and say, hey, what one won? We voted for you at the Hudson Valley Wine Festival.
Oh, that must be a wonderful experience to have that happen. And
happened all over.
And I bet you when you say, well, we picked number two, or they say, that's the one I voted for.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what happened. Just like, this is it. They're like, we need a bottle.
Very good. Very good. Well, Debbie, it's been great talking to you. I'm going to ask you to hang on the line for just a minute after we wrap this up because I failed to get a piece of information I need from you before I do
okay.
my thing. But you know, thank you so much for the time to chat here. It's been great. Best of luck in building your business. I think you should do very well, and we're looking forward to seeing you in the big leagues as you move forward here, because it certainly sounds like you have the drive and the desire and the plans to get there. So best of luck on that. And we will be doing another expert interview very soon with somebody else, and we will announce that when we set it up. So bye-bye, everybody.